Yo, Brokey, what's
Yo,
happening?
Brokey, good evening, good evening. Long time no talk.
Yeah, good evening for sure. Yeah, it's been too long since we did the last one. We did have a couple of things going on, just life events, and shit gets a little crazy. So we put this on hold and just kind of rather than make it something we felt obligated to do, we just kind of put it on hold and decided we'd bring it back whenever we were feeling it. And I'm feeling it, so I reached out and said, let's do this.
I got a big smile on my face right now. That's all I know.
Yeah. So, obviously today's date is March 17th, 2020. First of all, we've made it all the way into 2020. Everybody thought this was going to be the future year, right? We'd get all of our flying cars, but instead we get almost having World War III. Kobe Bryant died, and then now we're dealing with the coronavirus. Like, the world feels like it's falling apart over here. So, but
Yeah, how sad about that Kobe situation, huh? That was
yeah.
my man, so you know that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's huge. He transcends basketball. I mean, he's I think, and I know this is like kind of a small thing, but I mean, I think he's the only player to ever have two numbers retired. Is that true? Like, he's got two numbers with the Lakers retired?
Yeah, I'm really not sure, but just the outpouring of everybody, pretty much not only in the United States but around the world, was just amazing. And pretty much I've never seen anything like that
Yeah,
in
it was
my
crazy.
lifetime. The way everybody was just, devastated as to what happened.
Yeah, I mean, he was phenomenal. He changed the game of basketball, and then he went on to do other great things. Yeah, he's got a little bit of a tarnished history as well. I mean, he's not without his own flaws, but at the same time, he inspired a lot of people, and there were a lot of really great things that he did as well. And then on top of that, with the fact that he was traveling with other people, his daughter included, and everybody else that was involved, kind of it was a big deal. And he was off to do like a, I think it was like a basketball camp or something with him and his daughter or something. So yeah, it's definitely
Not
unfortunate.
don't let the others be forgotten
Yeah,
in that
absolutely.
situation.
Yeah. But yeah, the real reason that I wanted to kind of get this discussion going or whatever is because of the recent events, the most recent events. Obviously, the COVID-19, which is the newest strain of a coronavirus or type of coronavirus, whatever you want to say. It's not new for the entire world. I believe China's been dealing with it since about December, late November, early December time frame. And it really, they kind of put it under wraps and were kind of not talking about it. And then it got out of hand and started getting to other locations, and they had to come clean about it. And now we're starting to see some of the repercussions of that situation. And I don't know about you guys over in Virginia. I'll let you kind of talk about what's going on there first, so I don't dominate the conversation. But I'm just trying to see how's it affecting you guys. What's the supermarket situation looking like? Things like that.
Well, at this moment, to this day, that there's only I want to say like 31 cases in Virginia that has been confirmed on the coronavirus, and there's been, as far as I know, within our area, two confirmed deaths from that
Oh,
virus.
wow.
And right now, it's not really to the point to where I don't think that the public should actually be panicking over the situation the way it is in this particular area. Now, I have no problem with people being, proactive, going to get their the groceries and everything else. But the main thing is, and everybody knows it, the big word is toilet paper. Okay,
Yeah.
why that's going on.
I don't know.
I don't even think that's one of the symptoms. Okay.
No. But I think so. To kind of discuss about that real quick, I think one of the reasons why most people have, and this is through discussions I've had with other people, in different parts of the country and things like that, where the reason that individuals had a run on toilet paper is they were scared that we were going to go on like lockdown quarantine to where you couldn't leave the house. And it's, I mean, first of all, that's just not realistic. Second of all, I think this is a perfect opportunity for America to be introduced to the bidet and actually have something that's hygienic. I've been using a bidet for, 5 years or something like that. It's fantastic. My bum feels like royalty. When I'm done using the bathroom, I don't have to worry about any kind of issues or streaks in my underwear. So I think it's time for America to learn about the bidet and really kind of figure out how those things work, and catch up to some of these other civilized countries. But yeah, I mean, it's similar here. All of the paper products are all taken out at the grocery store. I actually went to the grocery store yesterday after work to pick up a couple extra things. I went last Thursday and picked up some just non-perishable items, a lot of pasta. I picked up like a 20-pound bag of rice. I picked up a couple different meat, beef products that I can freeze. Picked up canned goods, just stuff that is in the event that we had some kind of lockdown that we're, or even not a lockdown, but just to try and kind of prevent myself from needing to go out. I could do that. And so the only thing I went and did yesterday, I went and picked up a 4-pound chuck roast that will last me for a little while. I picked up a lot of different canned goods and then a couple of different snacks, because the snack aisle was completely untouched. Like, these people don't know how to like hunker down. If you're going to be hunkered down, you're going to want, you're going to want some treats. And yeah, I know you should double down on the necessities, things like pasta and all those kind of things. But eventually you're going to want something sweet. So I picked up a couple different things with cookies and stuff like that, so I could get the girls, something nice every now and again while we're kind of going through this situation. But what I will touch on real quickly is I think that the level of concern or the level of anxiety that individuals are having is somewhat warranted. And the reason why I think it is it's not necessarily going to impact individuals who have a non-compromised healthy immune system necessarily. It's going to make you sick. You probably will feel similar to the flu based on things I'm reading. I haven't had it, so I'm speaking out of school on that. But the real issue is not necessarily me, or you with regards to this virus. It's individuals who are older who have compromised immune systems. Maybe they've got some kind of autoimmune deficiency or something like that, mm-hmm. where, mm-hmm. This particular virus, it doesn't show any symptoms for almost 10 to 14 days. And so you could inadvertently get somebody sick who could potentially die from this thing and not have been shown any symptoms. So to me, I think taking the abundance of caution that we currently are, I'm actually really, really impressed with the way that some of the governments have been handling it. I was a little disappointed. The school system here that the girls go to, they didn't shut down schools until over the weekend. So like Friday, my office was actually shut down. I've been working from home since last Friday. But the girls' school was still in. And so, we still had to drop the girls off. I mean, we probably could have taken them out of school. We felt strongly enough about it, but sent them to school. And then come to find out there's potentially some individual in the school system, one of their parents is a confirmed case, So it's crazy. They really should have not allowed the kids to go on Friday, but you know, hindsight's 20/20, so you can make any kind of discrimination, not discrimination, but you can criticize what they did however you want. But ultimately they did decide to shut down schools, and here they're not going back till April 6th. What do you know anything about schools there? I don't think you guys have any school age kids in the house other than Anna's kids, but they're all homeschooled, right?
Yeah, but all of the has shut all Virginia schools.
They did shut down schools.
The whole state of Virginia, not just York County or Newport News or Hampton within my district around here, but it's the whole state of Virginia. Now, I don't know exactly what the timetable is, whether it was 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I want to say it was 2 weeks, but that, of course, is in the pending mode.
Oh yeah, it's just like it's
And
just to
I'm,
give you 2 weeks just
you
to say this is a number that we're going to give you, but it could be longer than that.
yeah, and to be honest with you, that's what I'm thinking because we have this really within the United States hasn't even started, to be honest with you.
No.
And once again, this is just my opinion. If you look back over in the other countries over in some of the countries over in Spain and Italy, that was hit hardest, including China and everything, we're just at the beginning of what they were starting, to feel on their economy, on their health, just everything.
Yeah.
And we just need to brace ourselves, and it's coming.
Yeah.
It's w like I said, we haven't even started into this.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like that's like you were saying earlier, you thought that people might be, or at least it sounded like, maybe I misunderstood what you said, but it sounded like you were kind of saying that people were kind of overreacting at this point. In my opinion, I think people are reacting like exactly at the level, if not maybe underreacting a little bit, to the fact of how important it is. Like there's, for instance, at my office, we have some individuals who like younger, newer hires or whatever that like went out and did the whole St. Patrick's Day thing this weekend. It's like we've got a major worldwide pandemic going on right now where individuals are transferring this thing through close contact, and we have individuals who are going out and partying at bars as if this is like just another day at the, another weekend. And while I don't think that you necessarily need to go on complete lockdown and, shutter all your windows and lock all your doors and get your guns prepped and everything, but I mean, it is to the point of where you should be. I mean, you need to have a little discipline. You need to stay in if you can. If you can work from home, you need to be working from home. Now, I know everybody kind of, that's kind of a, it's easy for me to say for two reasons. One is because my office has decided to do work from home, and I happen to have a job that, can be work from home. So there's that I get. But like if you have the opportunity to work from home, you need to take that and don't be out in all of these different places and interacting with people, because you interact with one person and that person maybe has interacted with 20 people, and those 20 people have maybe interacted with 20 people, and now all of a sudden you have inadvertently interacted with 400 people, let's say. So in it expands exponentially. And I think that I may be overreacting a little bit. I haven't, I've been trying to keep the girls inside, and that's been a nightmare because they have tons of energy. They want to be out. They want to be playing with their friends. They want to be running around. And I took them today. We went and I took them with their bikes out, and took them to this little tennis court that nobody really uses. That's in my
But
apartment
you know, that's
complex.
a that those type of things I think are okay to be in a lockdown, not to be able to go anywhere is, I don't know, a little exaggeration. So you're saying that you took your girls, for a little bike ride to a certain situation or certain location where really nobody's there at that time, which is fine.
Right,
Okay.
but when you're dealing with the whole point of like the lockdown for me though is it's dealing with those individuals who seem to not have that kind of discipline to not go out, to the individuals who, like I said, this weekend went out and went to St. Patrick's Day, celebrations and things where there were tons of people. And I know like where we were, all of the bars around here were packed shoulder to shoulder with individuals in them. And all that does is just, you know, just impact our ability to be able to contain this and be able to handle it from a healthcare perspective and for the, our hospitals.
When, was that, today?
No, that was all, I mean, today's obviously St. Patrick's Day, but the celebrations and everything like that were going on this weekend. So okay.
You'll probably see a spike within that area, to be honest with you,
in the next 2 weeks.
Next week or two, correct?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And yep. You know, they're saying a lot of the individuals who have this are, you know, asymptomatic. They don't have any symptoms, but they still have it. It's crazy. It's pretty, you know, they keep saying that it's like the key word is unprecedented times, but it really is. We're going through a lot of things. Your generation never dealt with a situation where you guys had to ration anything. I believe all of the gas rations and things were all before your time, weren't they?
No, they were during my time. Yeah. Gas rations. We actually had electricity shortage.
Oh, really?
But nothing of precedent of what's going on today, sure.
That's still pretty big, though. I was under the impression that, like, all of this stuff, like the gas, like when you had your days that you could go get gas, I thought that was all earlier than you, like in the late 40s, early 50s. But
Well, you might be talking about the Depression days. I'm not sure, but we definitely had gas rations. We had electricity shortages.
What was the gas rationing around? Do you remember?
In the mid 70s, okay. I want to say.
Okay.
Leading up to the late 70s, and then, you know, we had the electricity shortages going toward the late 70s, where we actually had to shut our school down and be transferred to another rival school, to where we had to switch off schedules between our school and their school.
Hmm.
But it was you know, a big thing back then.
What was the reason for the electricity stuff, though?
I'm sorry?
What was the reason for the electricity stuff?
It was just a shortage of electricity, as they say. That's what they said. Who knows where they were going with that?
Sounds
just
like BS.
Gasoline shortages. Yeah.
Well, gasoline shortages, I can see. That's kind of to me, the only reason that it's not necessarily, and again, I'm talking completely out of my rear end on this one, but it seems like an electricity shortage may be like a capacity shortage. They're not able, like in California, where they have these like rolling brownouts, where individuals in the summertime, when they're using their AC and stuff, that, you know, like if you use too many appliances on the same circuit, it pops a circuit breaker kind of deal.
Yeah,
you know, things like that.
And a gasoline shortage back then, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Okay, so we still have plenty of gas right now. So
yeah,
you know, where's their thinking coming from? But
yeah, I don't know. But yeah, we've got that. Our supermarkets, like I said, I went yesterday, all the meats were wiped out except for like all the cheap cuts. So that's why I got a chuck roast. Real, you know, it was cost me, I think it's like $5.99 a pound or something like that. I'd throw it in my sous vide. I'm going to cook it for three days, I guess, 2.5-3 days. It'll turn super tender. It'll seem like a filet mignon when I'm done with it, though.
You're going to be cooking it for 3 or 4 days. Is it safe to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I throw it in a sous vide for 125 degrees, I can do it for 3 to 5 days. I've done a chuck roast or tri-tip rather before, for 72 hours, and it comes out fantastic. It's so good.
I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, well, you know, you just gotta have the delicacy sometimes.
Okay.
So did you guys go to the grocery store and load up on anything, or you just
Ella went. And what's today? Tuesday. I think she went Sunday.
Okay.
And spent a little bit of money. Okay. I'm not going to lie on that. And that's just to go ahead and ramp up from where we were Sunday as opposed to where we'll be a week from now or 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got a bunch of chicken, and I say a bunch of chicken, probably, I don't know how many pounds, but it was like three packs of eight chicken breasts.
Okay.
So 24 chicken breasts, and, you know, went ahead and bagged those up in, you know, quantities of like four of whatever, and then froze those, and then just two packs of probably about 3 pounds of hamburger meat, and bought some pork chops, and then bought the necessities of canned goods, pasta, things of that nature.
Yeah.
But didn't really overdo it, just enough to hold us over, you know, within the coming up days.
Yeah.
Because it's only going to get worse. That's inevitable.
Yeah.
And we just got to just be prepared. You know, don't overdo it. You know, once again, it goes to where people are just hoarding all these other items on the grocery shelves and everything. And there was a story about, you know, the elderly not being able to have anything.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're thinking about, some of the stores are thinking about doing certain hours early in the morning from like 8 to 10 or 8 to 11 just for the elderly.
Yeah, and I think that's a good idea.
You know, yeah, and I do too. Yeah, you got to present an ID card as to how old you are. I don't know what the age limit is or whatever, but yeah.
You're getting close to being able to take advantage of that. I can see why you'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I can go with that.
How's work been? You guys, what are you guys doing? I know you're at Lexus now. Is that where you're at?
Yeah, I'm over at Lexus. And, you know, the parts manager today she texted me this morning saying that she had a emergency meeting with corporate over in Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the auto groups within our, you know, company had their meeting with all the managers and everything just to reiterate, to be sort of proactive about with the customers.
Yeah.
You know, don't be shaking hands regardless during this time. It's not a show of disrespect.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They know that they don't really want to shake hands right now, or, you know, but what sort of threw me a curve or a knuckleball was that, you know, within the service department and the parts department, we close at 5:30, 7:30 to 5:30.
Yeah.
And they're closing all of our dealerships at 6 o'clock. Until further notice, probably within 2 weeks or a month or whatever.
Right.
And that only includes the sales department.
Right.
Which is good for the sales personnel, because I'm sure, you know, they work a lot of hours anyway, so they get off at 6 instead of 8. So that's 2 hours that they're closing earlier within our dealership.
Yeah.
Now, within 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, sales department ain't going to have a whole lot of contact with
customers or anything anyway. Anyways. Right.
They're usually using
it to close up a sale or whatever.
Yeah. During the regular business hours, 7:30 to 5:30 within service and parts is when the busiest times of your contact with the population is.
Yeah.
Where they came up with that idea, I just found that pretty lame. they stopped their 401 contributions matching within that time period for the next 2 months, which I can understand, because right now with the 401k on the stock market is going nowhere except downhill right now.
Yeah,
so I know if he's matching contributions, then that's just throwing his money away.
Yeah, we briefly talked about that. That's a tough thing. That, to me, that impacts the employees. The only part of that that I, like, after talking to you a little bit about it, the only part that I see where that makes sense is if he's trying to figure out a way to kind of reduce, you know, or increase his ability or her ability, whoever's making that decision to make the match, but to make the company's ability to meet payroll happen, considering you guys are going to be for sure taking a hit here. You know, like service, there's not going to be a lot going on in the service department. There's not going to be a lot of car sales going on right now. I'm sure that individual, you know, I just bought a car, but had I not have just bought a car, I probably would have been holding off on it right now. Things like that. So I can see it from that perspective. I don't see it from the perspective of the reason that the thought process behind it is because the market is taking a dump right now. Because honestly, that's the best time to be throwing money at it. Now, granted, at your age, it's a little bit different. Your planning is a little bit different. For me, like I threw a whole bunch of extra money in a personal account that I have and started purchasing up some different equities and things like that. Because again, I'm young. The market took about a 40 or 50% dip on a lot of different really nice companies, things like Gap. I saw there were some travel companies, airline companies, these long stay companies. And in my opinion, I'm looking at them, they dropped 40%. I can buy them now and they're going to get to back to where they were. There's the economy is not going to stay where it's at now for as long as for the long, long term, like the next 2 to 5 years or something. They're not purchases I'm making with the intent of selling them, you know, in December. Like I'm going to hold on to these and I'll probably hold on to them for the next 3 years while they, you know, and benefit from that. So I could see it from the perspective of trying to maintain cash flow and be able to make sure that they're able to make paychecks and keep the lights on and stuff. But I don't see it from the perspective of the market is taking a crap. So let's prevent people from throwing money at it right now. I can't imagine that. The other thing that I thought, I think considering, I mean, we touch on sports and stuff like that. Basically every major sport has either delayed or canceled their season. Like it's crazy. Like to me, that was like the telling sign, the billions of dollars that is going away because of that. March Madness canceled. NBA season canceled, I think, until they're not going to have the season for the rest of the year. MLB at best probably going to be a shortened season this year. But I wouldn't be surprised if they cancel that, considering that right now
NHL, MSL,
yeah, everything pushed back.
Over in Europe, all of their soccer, yeah. Which is, you know, huge over there. Mm-hmm. It's just not the United States. It's the whole world.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's one thing. And to be honest with you, I think what actually sort of got the attention of the people in the United States was when some of the basketball players, Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, do you see that dumb stuff that he did though? Like, I mean, you want to talk about something that just aged like milk. He was making fun of the
unacceptable.
Yeah, he wasn't. He's like, I'm not worried about it, and touches all the mics and stuff, and then like a week later, he turns up and he turns up positive for it. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, how unfortunate.
You just don't do.
No.
Yeah. And it was bad timing on his behalf. But from what I understand, even in the locker rooms and everything, that he was always joking around, yeah, and hugging people and touching everything and like making, you know, jest of it and jokes and everything. And at even when he was doing that at that time, it was already huge over in the other parts of the
in Asia,
over in Europe and in Asia and everything. And it was just starting around in the United States.
Yeah.
But, you know, once he found out that he was tested positive, he did a positive thing, which was I want to say he donated $500,000
to staff and stuff like that.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. So that's a good gesture, and he was embarrassed about it. He's lost sleep. He's had anxieties, depression. He'll get over that.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, when this is going on, it's not a joking matter. Especially within his stature of him being a role model and everything.
Yeah.
Well, but it was just pretty bad timing. Not knowing that he actually had it. And a bunch of his teammates were pretty pissed off at him. but that'll just be, you know, that'll blow over and they'll resume their, you know, everything will blow over on that.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about it. I don't know if we've done it on the podcast, but I know we've talked about it personally before about sports figures being role models and things like that. It's, I think that we need to have better role models than sports figures, and that's a perfect example of why. They're just people playing a game. To me, as far as a role model, some of them, they do great things. They do things for the community and stuff, which, speaking of, I believe I saw the news today. Every MLB team is donating $1 million to a fund, which is going to be used to help individuals, staff, basically, for the that would normally be getting paid at the MLB stadiums and things like that. So that's, you know, that's
what a great gesture.
Yeah,
huh?
I think that's pretty special.
I love that.
There were a lot of players that were already doing that kind of stuff, and it kind of pissed me off a little bit because of the fact that, you know, yeah, the players, they make these millions of dollars, and that's great. I'm not mad at them. Who I'm mad at are the owners, you know, these, in many cases, multi-billionaires who own these franchises. And again, maybe they're not being public about it and trying to make a big ordeal about it, but they could be doing something to keep these individuals afloat as well. And again, I'm speaking out of school. I don't necessarily know that they're not, right? I don't know that they're canceling the season and they sent out emails that were like, yeah, because the season's not going, we're also not going to maintain salaries or anything crazy like that. But I'm saying it seems that that's the case due to the fact that the players felt it necessary to donate their own money to try and make sure that the facility staff and everything are able to continue their life at this time. So I thought that was pretty crazy.
The behind the scenes people who make things run
smoothly
during games.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. 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 So, and as far as I know, right now, the only MLB team that has not come to the table with that is the, the Marlins.
The story I read today said all 30 teams.
Yeah, but I heard today that they have not made it public that they are going to take care of their behind the scenes employees. And once again, I might be wrong, but that's what I've heard so far as of today.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I also was reading up today whether it was true or not, but and I don't think it was any fake news or anything, but there's a stimulus package that's supposed to be coming out that Congress is supposed to like make it a speedy like passing of a stimulus package for not particularly everybody in the United States, but I don't know, pretty much mid income and below, to where they're going to send out like $1,000 to each family or individual, whichever you live in, and then go from there.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about that. Sorry, there's a vehicle here that had its somebody set off the alarm, so I was closing the windows.
I heard that in the background.
So I was trying to go because I couldn't tell if I could hear it if in the monitor or not. So anyway, I went and shut the windows to hopefully drown that out. But I don't know about any stimuluses that were passed. Mm-hmm. I did see something where they were trying to pass, and the thing is that this bill had its start about a week ago, but they were trying to pass some bill that increases the authoritarian power of the government over the Patriot Act. It's like a revitalization of the Patriot Act or something. I don't remember all the details. I was literally looking at it maybe a half hour before we started recording, but it kind of sickens me at like that type of stuff too. Like right now, the government needs to be spending its time figuring out ways to handle the current situation and not be sitting in Congress passing laws which continue to eat away at our civil liberties and everything. The whole you know, nanny state and everything like that just continues. And, you know, the worst part is they're doing it at a time where we're having such huge issues in the nation. And maybe they put it off in the Senate and they don't worry about it or whatever, but it's just, it came across and I was looking at it. And it, again, the hard part about it too is with news these days, you don't know if you're reading it from some kind of trolling site that's just trying to get everybody to get up in arms about stuff or what. But yeah, and then the other thing I wanted to talk about. So one of the stats that came
does anything like make you think about the government, like deprive you or anything nowadays? Right now, you know what I mean?
It would make me happy about them?
No, just what they do sometimes is not surprising, you know, like stupidity.
Yeah, it's not surprising, but the fact of the matter is it's like, you know. It just amazes me that it's like stuff doesn't change, you know, like every time they take advantage of these types of situations and stuff when there are just more important things going on right now that they need to be paying attention to.
Right now, it should be focus, what's going on to this particular day and tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the next few weeks and the next few months. Because once again, like I said, it's only beginning within the United States. I'm sorry to say that, but it's only going to get worse.
Well, the one thing I wanted to talk about also that I thought was kind of it's sad and interesting kind of all at the same time. And I'm sure that people have brought it up before, but it's just something that kind of this brought it to light for me a lot stronger than probably it had in other situations, which, you know, I'm embarrassed to kind of say or whatever, but like they were saying that the reason that they were considering not closing some of the schools was because a lot of these kids, that's like the only hot meal that they get during the day. Like they, you know, these kids that live in, you know, less than optimal situations, you know, this may be the only hot meal that they get. And there's a lot of places where the, you know, the kitchen staff are still going into work to make these meals so that they can go and deliver it to people. And to me, like, that's the saddest thing to the saddest thing to come out of all of this, at least right now. And maybe I'm somewhat overemphasizing it a little bit. But the fact that you have, you know, a country that's supposed to be as prosperous as ours, and we're still in a situation where we have children who don't get hot meals
depend on school meals.
Right, exactly. And it's, yeah, you know, it's tough to really kind of realize that. The other thing that I thought was kind of telling is, like, you know, you always get told, or I've always been told growing up and going through school, you know, you want to have a nest egg. You want to try to build a nest egg to be able to last 3 months in case you lose your job, that you could still pay all your bills. And you know, it's going to be tight, right? But you can last for 3 months. But we have, you know, businesses right now where this particular issue that we're having could sink these businesses. They've got, you know, if we go 2-3 weeks like this where the restaurants and the bars aren't able to get patrons in there, they could very well go under because they don't have the capital to sustain. They're practically living paycheck to paycheck, which is like more than 50% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, which is crazy. And again, you know, I try to stay away from politics when we're talking on this, only because it can get kind of heated or whatever. But I mean, it's one of those things where something like this, like the coronavirus, you really kind of, it makes itself very apparent that we have some issues in this country that we need to work out from an infrastructure perspective, whether it be from a you know, social standards or social programs or whatever you want to call them. But we have a lot of issues that people tend to overlook because they're not experiencing it. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm not one of those people who didn't think about it like that. But for sure, there are individuals who are going about their daily business, and since they're not impacted by this, aren't thinking about those individuals whose kids aren't going to get a warm meal because they're not going to school, or, you know, individuals who are living paycheck to paycheck where their livelihood relies on tips, for instance, in the restaurant industry. And these individuals are not going to be able to make their rent, which is going to have a trickle-down effect because the people that they're supposed to be paying their rent to are relying on them for income. And then you just have this, you know, it's just going to snowball. And so we have, you know, there's, we've at least there are certain places that are like, you know, I'm not going to cut off your internet if you're not paying for it. We'll figure out a way for you to make payments on that. Or, you know, we're not going to shut off your water right now. Things like that. So there are some positives in this. But I think we really need to figure out some better ways kind of as a society, specifically in the U.S. I don't know how other countries can handle it. I know that, you know, there's a lot of different discussions around how we handle healthcare here in the U.S. And I really do think that there's got to be some better ways for us to handle this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think we really show in the United States our vulnerability is during these situations. It's not only the coronavirus, what's going on now. It goes back to like hurricanes. Okay. When we get hit by catastrophic 3, 4, 5, on the hurricane scales that just devastates some of these, you know, cities and counties and areas. And then for these people to get aid from the government is just so slow.
Yeah.
And for you know, for them to act upon what's going on during that situation, including, you know, tornadoes, it's I think we show our vulnerability as to our mistakes, and we ought to learn from the mistakes. And leading up from all these hurricanes, all these tornadoes, all these floods that, like New Orleans, you know, came upon during that flooding during the hurricane and everything, you know, learn from that and correct the mistakes. And that could even lead up, you know, I don't even know how many years that was.
Well, so here's the problem, though. The big issue with that is that it's isolated to a region, right? So you look at Hurricane Katrina, that's only the big impact of that is going to be Louisiana, and really even hyper local is going to be New Orleans. You look at some of the hurricanes that have hit the East Coast, generally they hit one, maybe two states. You look at tornadoes, that's hyper local as well. That's generally going to be a couple of different counties within a state. This is something entirely different in that it is the entire United States that's going to impact it. And to your point, I think you're right. They should have learned from the mistakes of these other hyper local places and seen the things that were locally deficient and expanded that out everywhere. But I think that the general mindset, and a lot of times I think this is just human nature, is that you have individuals. So when the Hurricane Katrina came through and hit New Orleans, you have individuals in New York who are like, oh, you know, I don't have to worry about that. That type of thing is not going to happen here in New York. We won't have problems with that. This is New York, you know, like they're not thinking on the same thought process of this is something that could impact. It could be something that could hit us if it impacted the entire United States. And I think that that's something that we should have. You're right. We should have learned from that for sure.
Okay. And that's why we have government. So within each state of governments that have had those catastrophic storms, floodings, whatever the case may be, that they need to get together. They need to talk about it, figure out their mistakes, figure out where they need to go on from that and learn from it. And then what can we do to improve next time it happens to your state? We're all a United States, okay? Yes, governments within the United States have different laws. They have different, you know, say-sos as to what they can do, what they can't do. But they need to get on the same page. You know, once again, in my opinion, it goes back to Democrat, Republican.
Yeah.
You say black, I say white. You say yes, I say no. And right now, to this day in 2020, that is the biggest flaw within our government right now.
Yeah. Okay? The two-party system.
Whether you like Trump or whether you hate Trump, whatever Trump is doing right now, including to this coronavirus, it's his fault. But leading up to from the day that he was elected, or even before he was elected while he was running, to this day, up to this coronavirus, is the Democrats are not going to agree to a single thing that he says.
No, I mean, that's true. But also, I mean, to play fair here, though, you do understand that he fired the pandemic team that's responsible for handling situations like this. Like, he fired them.
And that goes on in everyday workplaces around the whole country.
It does, absolutely.
Around the whole world.
It does. Okay. Absolutely.
So, and was there reasons? Does anybody know? Do you know the reason why?
I haven't looked into it. My understanding was that he felt that there basically, it was like a waste of money. We were spending money on a team of individuals who were responsible for figuring out, you know, what we would do in the event of some kind of large scale disaster. And that he felt that it was unnecessary for us to deal with that, and that he would be able to handle that through other means, which is proving incorrect at this point.
Well, he's. I'm sure he replaced those people also.
Yeah,
are capable of finding out the situation.
He replaced them with Pence, with his vice president, and it's going really poorly right now. But hey, we've been going at this for an hour. I want to keep it to keep it at an hour or whatever. But it's been fun. It always is.
Absolutely.
And so we'll try to touch back again. I'm somewhat on self quarantine, so trying to stay at the house. So I think this will be an easy way for me to keep in touch and everything. So yeah, I love you. And
all right, love you.
We'll see if we can do this again next week.
All right. Can you do me a favor? Send me a case of toilet paper.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
I love you.
Love you too, Dad.
All right. Enjoyed it. Bye.